Well, hello there, everybody. It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. Very happy to be with you on this Saturday night, Sunday morning, 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text, you can do whatever you like, quite frankly. Good morning to you, Mr. Badish.
Good morning, sir. You can do whatever you like.
You can do whatever you like. Yeah. It's in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter. Listen to the radio, you know, with no pants on, whatever.
What?
Whatever
Wait
works
a minute.
For you.
Well, thank goodness it's radio.
Well, I can see you through the window upstairs, and all I see is your shirt, but we don't know what's going
on. We're not going to talk about
We're not going to talk about that. Well, I'll tell you what. We got, I know everyone gets to know my producers over the last 4 or 5 years, and, you know, I want to go through my little list here. My first producer was Kevin Richter, who is from the Bill and Wendy Show now, and then Michael Heidemann, who is now doing the Wintrust Business Lunch and running everything that's WGN Plus. But at Wake Night, left us a couple months ago, and he is doing the Dean Richards Show and the Morning Bell, and he's associate producing the Steve Cochran Show, and he's digitally producing some of the things for my show. And now we welcome in, very excited, Mr. Joey Gelman. Gelman, good morning to you, Mr. Joey Gelman.
Good morning, Dave. Morning, Roger. Thank you, guys.
Good morning.
I'm very excited.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know you just graduated from University of Illinois and won this prestigious award, which is really cool. Tell us a little bit about your background in broadcasting.
Yeah, so just graduated U of I down in Champaign in broadcast journalism. So for my time down there, was a big sports guy. So
yeah,
got involved with the Daily Illini and WPGU radio down there, covering everything from tennis to football in the 4 years, hosting and anchoring shows and broadcasting with a Big Ten Network student program there. So trying to get my feet wet in areas there. And so super excited to bring those talents here and try to learn a lot more from you guys.
And the Bill Geist, is it the Journalism Award? Is that
yes.
what it was? Yeah, that's pretty cool. And he went there, obviously, from CBS Sunday Morning. I know Bill Geist, yeah.
Absolutely. It was a great honor to receive that. Unfortunately, they couldn't make it down for that, but was a very cool ceremony. A lot of other students with me got similar awards to that, so it's nice to see, you know, everyone get honored and recognized, including myself as well.
Roger, maybe we'll have a live sportscaster then on our news on our
overnight
show.
Hey, we can
do it. Right, right.
And now, here with the sports.
Yep, Joey Gelman. Yeah,
I don't want to take your thunder away, though, Roger.
Hey, you know what? Please. It's okay. There's more than enough to go around. You know what I'm saying?
Should I yell at him like Reed just did to Gelman?
Yeah.
When he was
sure.
Gelman! Do that. I think, you know, we're going to find some sound bites of Regis yelling for Gelman.
I always get excited when I hear that. I think they're talking to me through the TV, but just his producer.
Nice, nice. Well, welcome aboard. Very
thank
happy
you,
to have you, pal. Absolutely. So let me tell you a little bit about what we got on the show today, because, you know, I'm a big fan of rock and roll. I kind of, you know, spent my high school years in the 80s. So, you know, to have some of these guests that we are able to have on the show from growing up is pretty exciting for me. I hope it's just as exciting for you out there as well. But we are going to have a rock icon, Blondie's Debbie Harry, on today. And that is pretty cool. You know, she's been doing this for 40 years already. And she was like the kind of hot little sex symbol of the 1970s and 80s. She was, Roger.
I know, she was very much so.
And, you know, and she's always been very candid about, you know, and this is an absolutely true story, and I'll be very careful how I say this, but she said, you know, I used to live in New Jersey. I remember watching her on MTV. She was the first video, one of the first videos on MTV, and long before Madonna. And what she talked about is the fact that she would. I'm hearing some background noise. Somebody in the background there. Is that in your studio or who is that?
No.
All right. So anyway,
might be the fish talking.
Might be the fish talking. All right. So she would talk about the fact that she lived in New Jersey and she would always go into New York City, and there was a street, and it's really terrible to say this, but it was a street, and she talked about this. And I remember they bleeped her, and I looked at some research later. It was called C Mile. Awful word, the C word, mile.
Okay.
And she would go there and find guys to go make out with
because
she was pent up in suburban New Jersey. And so when she was a teen, that's what she used to do. And that's how she hooked up with a lot of friends who introduced her to the music business. So she's got a really interesting background, very edgy, but this is going to kill you. And I don't, and she just did an article about this, and it was like talking about her age. So I don't think I'm speaking out of turn by saying what her age is, but she's 70.
What? No way.
Yes, she is.
Are you kidding?
No way. No. And when I spoke to her earlier in the week, just to kind of arrange and talk what we were going to talk about a little bit, she sounds like she's 35.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, she's from not even a, just from singing, but even sometimes you can sing and sound exactly like you did when you were younger, but you talk a little, you know, you can tell in your voice that you're a little older. She sounds exactly the same. It's amazing.
70 years old.
She's 70.
No way.
Yep. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk to Debbie at about 2:35 and then right after that, we'll talk about maybe some of the other groundbreaking women in rock and roll. You know, we've had some of the best. We've had Joan Jett on the show. We've had Pat Benatar on the show. And there's a bunch more that that we want to talk about. So we'll do that with you folks out there as well and get your thoughts on who the most groundbreaking. And by the way, I want to hear from you, 312-981-7200. What is your favorite Deborah Harry or Blondie song that was out there? Because, I mean, they had some of the biggest hits in radio for almost a decade in the 70s and 80s. So 312-981-7200. Let me know who your favorites are. Then we're going to have, so this is really cool, on Navy Pier, which is celebrating 100 years, they're going to have, it's America's World Cup Series Chicago, and this is a 165-year-old race that is taking place for the first time in fresh water right here in Chicago. So this is really, really cool what's happening next weekend. And so many different countries that are going to be participating, including the U.S., and it's the Oracle Team USA sailor Matt Cassidy, who's also lived in Chicago. He's in Bermuda now. That's a lot warmer, a lot nicer there during the year. But he's going to be joining us live in studio. And really, really cool guy. And a gentleman by the name of Todd, who actually arranges, Todd Reynolds, that arranged this whole thing here in Chicago, is going to be here as well. What's really interesting is it's like the 35th actual race, and it's happened over 165 years. So what happens is whoever wins the race gets to pick the next time the race happens. And so it doesn't happen every single year. It's very inconsistent when it happens. The last race was in 2010. They've skipped years for World War I, World War II, you know, like a lot of the, you know, World Series and all that stuff. So it's happening here in Chicago. So we'll talk to them about that. Very cool event. Very cool event. And then earlier in the week, I filled in for Steve Cochran, and we talked to Buzz Aldrin, astronaut Buzz Aldrin, who is all hepped up about going to Mars. And he's got a new book out as well. So, you know, I'm sure you know this, on the morning show and during the daytime, there's a lot less time to talk due to, you know, spots and sports and weather, traffic that just lasts a little longer. So this is actually an extended interview. So, you know, we've almost doubled the size of this conversation. So you'll hear what folks heard on the Steve Cochran show, plus a lot more. So we're excited about that as well. And then Shawnee's going to be a little bit earlier because in the this whole week he's been doing this special on the national parks turning 100,
which
is really cool. And you know you've known him for years. He loves hitting the road and talking all this stuff. So very excited. We're going to talk about that. And then they played a little bit at a time, and we're going to play the entire national parks thing in its entirety. And it's just really fascinating. And enjoyed hearing that during the week.
Cool.
So we'll do that as well. And This Week in History, Walter's perspective, all kinds of good stuff. But, you know, the first thing, big newsmaker this weekend, always when this happens, is, you know, I remember hearing just earlier in the week that Muhammad Ali was hospitalized and not doing well, and what a power of strength that he is, and he passed away last week. And we've got some interesting clips to share with you, some conversations that he had. You know, he was a frequent guest on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, just a sweet man, and he just loved Johnny, and Johnny loved having him on too. And so we've got some pretty rare clips that we got from the folks that actually archive The Tonight Show to play tonight. And then we're also going to I've got some clips from Howard Cosell. Now, I don't know if you remember this back in the day, Roger or Joey, what you know, but you know, they had what always appeared on television as a little bit of a contentious relationship, you know, and there would be pictures taken of Muhammad trying to pick up Howard's toupee that are very famous.
Yeah.
And they would get into it a little bit, and Howard would be very honest with him about his fight. Like, you know, hey, you weren't at the top of your game. I don't care what you say. You know, you were 12 rounds in and you were getting weak, and that's the only reason why this guy survived. And, you know, they would get into it, but they had a lot of love and admiration for each other. yeah. going both ways.
Yeah.
So we've got a very early interview with Muhammad and Howard Cosell, and we're going to share with you as well. But just some interesting facts on Muhammad. You know, as a 12-year-old, Cassius Clay, of course, he pedaled on his red and white Schwinn bike to his Louisiana home, and it was a home show. It was an exhibition for black businesses for the free popcorn, hot dogs, and candy. But when he left, his bike was gone, and a stranger suggested he speak to a policeman. And his name was Joe Martin at a nearby Columbia gym. And, you know, he said, I ran downstairs crying, but the sights and sounds and smell of boxing excited me so much that I almost forgot about the bike. That's how he got into boxing. So he went to talk to a cop that was at this boxing place, and that's how he got into this whole thing. So pretty cool. His first bout was in 1954. He won gold at the Rome Olympics in 1960. So, which is pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
He did that as well. And then, let's see here. Some of the moments in Muhammad Ali history, you know, he met wrestler Gorgeous George after turning professional. Mm-hmm. Clay won 6 fights in 6 months, then on to Vegas, a Vegas radio show to promote his 7th contest. He met wrestler Gorgeous George Wagner, whose promotional skills got audiences coming to watch. And as Ali later told his biographer, if this bum beats me, I'll crawl underneath the ring and cut off my hair, but it's going to happen because I'm the greatest fighter in the world. And that's kind of how he started getting his chops wet with the media a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. by getting all hyped up. Got a fight with Sonny Liston in 1964, won his first heavyweight title in 64 as well. He became Muhammad Ali in 64. Malcolm X, you know, was one of the influencers on having him change.
I think he changed right after the win.
He did.
Yeah, it's like within a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, changed his name. Let's see here. He took on the heavyweight belt out of America in 66. And 5 decades from when Jack Johnson had lost his title to Jesse Willard in Havana in 1915 to 1966, the heavyweight title has been contested only twice outside of America. Yet with Ali finding it hard to fight in the U.S., he took his belt on the road traveling to Canada to beat George Chavillo and then to England to dispose of Henry Cooper again and Brian London before hopping to Germany to beat Carl Mildenberger. So he's one of the first to travel the world to really show people that he was the greatest. Banned from boxing and thrown into jail. Did you know about this in 1967?
Well, when he refused the draft.
Yeah, when he refused the draft, of course. Very well known for that as well. Had a fight against Larry Holmes later in 1980 that was pretty tough. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of hung up his career in the 90s. And, of course, you know, diagnosed with Parkinson's pretty mm-hmm. early on. And always a fighter for the little guy, and he was just one of those captivating figures that whenever you would see him on television or radio, you stopped and wanted to listen to hear him talk.
Yeah.
Pretty cool guy. So here's our first clip. Again, he used to be, by the way, this is 630. A few weeks ago, the Decades Channel showed a Dick Cavett show with Ali and Frazier promoting the Rumble in the Jungle, and he was such an entertainer. He absolutely mm-hmm. was. So talk a little bit about this was maybe his third or fourth appearance. It was in the early 70s on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
We're back now. We're talking with Muhammad Ali. You've always said that even though you were defeated by Frazier, I think you said something like this, you've always felt that you were the champion of the people now. A lot of people seem to have adopted, in a way, a foreman now. Does that bother you at all?
No, a foreman, he's a good fighter, but every man, like, when you first get the title, it's a good feeling, a world heavyweight champion. And then after a while, you know, you have to go out and defend it. And you have to, the spot that you own, you have to pick the top contenders, and you can't duck them, or you can't deliberately pass them, because it'll hurt you with the people.
Right.
And you have to go active. And what keeps me going so is because I fight everybody, regardless to their ranking, or who, or country, or nationality. And I fight every 2 months, and everything is at risk with no return clauses. This is why I'm going like I'm going. I just don't.
You're 31 now. How many more years do you think you can really be effective? That's young. You're a young man, but as fighters get into their 30s,
3 years at the most.
3 years tops.
Start slowing down about a fraction of a second.
Just a fraction of a second.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. What do they ask you? You do a lot of college lectures. What do the kids ask you in school?
Well, I haven't been for the past, I would say, year and a half.
Right.
They have everything. They ask you everything. Ask me about you.
Oh, they do.
My guy, Johnny Carson.
What do you tell them? I'm not looking at them. Be real honest. What do they say?
I tell them I'd rather be with you than all the rest because you don't ask me no tough questions. You're real nice. Most of the shows your own deal. You're real tricky, you know, but you're really a nice fella. You don't ask nobody nothing controversial, nothing to stir up nobody. You happy and go, you know. But
would you like me to ask you some tough questions? I mean, does that bother you when people ask you?
Well, you try it and you see.
That's fabulous. You try it and you'll see what happens. I love that. I love that. I love that. Very cool. Very cool. So that was Muhammad and Johnny Carson. And as we were talking about Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali, you know, they in the early days of Wide World of Sports and Howard Cosell, he had another primetime show that he did in the 1960s. Muhammad was a regular guest on his show. And again, they had a very interesting relationship. As I said, mm-hmm. Howard was very... he could be pretty hard on Muhammad Ali if he was having a bad day, bad fight. But they were really good friends, and they respected each other right till the very end when I believe Howard died in 1995. Here's a 1960s interview of Howard along with Muhammad Ali.
And here, fully robed after the workout you've just seen, comes the heavyweight champion of the world himself. Good to see you, champ.
Howard Cosell, the world's greatest newscaster. How you feeling?
You're very kind, champ, but let's get to cases. You look almost like you're ready for the fight right now.
You're about right, almost ready, after another week. I'm a little tired now, I'm working hard, and after about three more days of work and rest until Tuesday for the big night, I'll be ready.
I notice you've stopped with the poetry. You're not making any predictions. How come?
Well, I'm just, I have a prediction for the fight. But, I think I'll be wise not to release it because so many people believe in my predictions and they have been accurate up to date. I'm afraid that it might hurt the gate if I let them know what's going to happen, so I'll just hold a surprise for them.
But
I know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
I can't tell you. Let me tell them.
You can't tell them. You got to wait.
Let me tell them.
You can't tell them.
The people are waiting for the prediction.
You can't tell them.
I'll tell you what's going to happen, see?
No, don't tell them.
All right, come on.
I can't tell you.
You're going to knock him out. What round?
I'm not going. He's going to tell him. I can't tell you. I can't tell you because it will hurt the gate.
On the other hand, Muhammad, there continue to be people who say this is just an act on your part, that inside you're scared, that Liston's better trained for this fight.
I don't know nothing about his training. I haven't seen him. I don't care nothing about him. All I know are the people that witnessed me here. I'm in top-notch condition. I'm fast. I'm fastest living heavyweight on 2 feet. And I don't worry about even getting hit.
All right, there you go. It's Muhammad Ali with Howard Cosell. All right, so we're going to have Blondie coming up next and Deborah Harry. And we've got a couple texters, too, and we'll share those next on 720 WGN.